Cantor Dobe, I know you just returned from New York City this weekend. Would you like to tell us about the weekend that you just spent?
This was a very memorable weekend, and a weekend that will reverberate not only in my life, but also in the lives of 36 Schindler's survivors who were present there from the entire country. 36 were present, Schindler survivors, besides other survivors who were not on the Schindler's list. We came also to be honored and to be feated by the Israel Bonds organization in New York. There were 1,600 people present. People were really, this was standing room only there. And 400 people were turned away because there was no space for them, you see. But it was an occasion of great impact, not only on the survivors' life, but on the Jewish community's life. There were $48 million raised in one evening for the Israeli bonds. And of course, this was due to the presence, perhaps, of Elie Wiesel and Steven Spielberg, who were very gracious and who lent great dignity and great memorability to this occasion. I had the good fortune to be invited to sing the national anthems, and I stood next to Spielberg when I sang the national anthems, and they told me that he swallowed every word that I sang. He was enthralled by my presentation, and after I stopped singing, he said to me, "I felt like yelling, 'Play ball!'" And he called me maestro, master. There were many speeches, of course. There was Colette Avital, the ambassador, Israeli ambassador. Mm-hmm. In New York, the general counsel was there. There was an Israeli army general who sat next to Spielberg. There were great personalities and leaders of community in New York, and also presidents of bond organizations from all over the country. The 36 Schindler List survivors were seated on the dais in the first row, which was a very nice recognition. And each and every one of the 36 survivors were presented by this chauffeur and plaque, you see?
Oh, I see it right in your office. Oh.
Right,
yes,
here.
Yes, the chauffeur.
I just brought it. Yes.
That's just beautiful.
It's
a chauffeur presented to Cantor Moshe Tobe on the occasion of the 10th Annual International Elie Wiesel Holocaust Remembrance Award Dinner, honoring Steven Spielberg and the members of Schindler's List, State of Israel Bonds, November 20th, 1994, in New York City.
And movingly, every chauffeur was presented by a child of a survivor. See, so there were 36 children of survivors, each one presenting the chauffeur to a Schindler survivor. It was a very moving scene, very nice. And of course, speeches were delivered by all the main VIPs, and the main speeches were, of course, by Elie Wiesel, who spoke movingly about the Holocaust, about his experiences, about the occasion, and also by Steven Spielberg, who was honored and presented with beautiful sculptures. Two sculptures. One sculpture was of Schindler.
Oh.
His bust is bust. It was just breathtaking, made of brass, a sculpture of brass, the image of Schindler, his head.
Mm-hmm.
It was just breathtaking, beautifully done. And then he was presented by Elie Wiesel. He was presented with a sculpture of a broken violin. A broken violin, which symbolized the broken lives and the broken careers of musicians in the camps. He was extremely moved by it. He spoke very, very movingly, Steven Spielberg,
mm-hmm.
about his angle, about his understanding, about his impact on the Holocaust, how he started to view the Holocaust as a part of Jewish history, which was not his up to a certain point, and how he became a better Jew and a better committed individual by the experience of the Holocaust. And his wife,
Upshaw,
something like this.
Oh, is this thing?
No, no,
yeah.
No.
She's an artist. She's
mm-hmm.
an
actress.
Movie actress, yes. She's a movie actress. She was very, very gracious and very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And in spite of the fact that she was not born Jewish, she took part mm-hmm. beautifully in the festivities.
Did
together with him, and I saw her moral support.
Mm-hmm. Did Spielberg say that he really wasn't or hadn't thought about the Holocaust much as a Jew, or it hadn't affected him until he began this?
Right, right,
mm-hmm.
exactly. Until he began the process of understanding and reliving the experiences of the survivors, because he had to relive them in order to present what he presented in the Schindler's List movie. He had to be part of it in order to present it the way in the genial way that he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Elie Wiesel was for him a guide. He was a spiritual mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the Book of Kenelly played a tremendous role in the creation
mm-hmm.
of the movie, and he came back to his heritage, he came back to his people, really,
mm-hmm.
by the experiences that he presented in the movie, in the up to that point, he was perhaps not a committed Jew,
mm-hmm.
or Jew to be counted. But now, since the movie, since the creation of the movie, his world of Judaism opened up to him
mm-hmm.
in such a way that it is irrevocable. It became irrevocable.
Mm-hmm. Had you seen some of the other survivors before?
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I had some reunions with
mm-hmm.
a few of them whom I remember,
mm-hmm.
very moving reunions. At that occasion, I didn't see them for 50 years.
And the movie came out in?
The movie came out 3 years ago. 1992? Uh-huh. Yes, but the survivors
mm-hmm.
that were yet among the 36,
uh-huh.
there were about four that I didn't see in 50 years since my liberation
yes.
from camp, and I hardly recognized them. They recognized me, and of course there were kisses and embraces and tears and everything. Because we didn't see each other. Everyone was white hair, and pure white. But they were white, completely wrinkled. And they were all young people in the 20s. I was 17.
Was it? What were the feelings, like your inner feelings, when you saw them?
I was very emotional. I was speechless when I saw them, and they were speechless. They had just told me their names, and I immediately recognized the names. Look at the faces, and I recognize also some of 4 of 36. The other 36, I could not recognize. I just couldn't remember. Either they changed so drastically, or I just couldn't remember. There were 1,100 of us there. 1,100.
Mm-hmm.
Now they are about. In the entire world, there are about 270, 280 left out of the 1,100. They are all older people.
Would you have interacted with the majority of them at that time, then? I mean, you wouldn't necessarily have come across all of them.
You mean in Kent?
In Kent.
I came across all of them again, no question about it.
But you didn't have a relationship.
A relationship. Yeah. We say hello to each other, we commiserated with each other. But there were 1,100 people. You cannot be on buddy-buddy with each and everyone. You understand?
And how old were you when you were in the camp?
I was 18 years old. 17, when I went into Schindler's camp, Schindler factory. I was 17, and when I was liberated, I was 18.
Mm-hmm. And your father was with you?
My father was with me. He, of course, would recognize more of the 36 survivors than I did, because there was after all, I was one of the youngest. They were all older people than I was, you see, at the time. But today they are in their 70s or 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to tell you how long I am.
What happened? I know Mrs. Schindler also was just in Pittsburgh a week ago.
She was 3 weeks ago.
On occasion for Israel Bonds. I'm sorry.
It was not. It was a ZOA dinner.
That's right. Excuse me.
It was a ZOA dinner, and she was the recipient of an award.
Mm-hmm.
And she spoke in German, and somebody translated it into English. And she sat next to me. They seated me next to her because she didn't speak one word English.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to translate different things for her. And she was mentioned, or when she was honored, and she was always nudging me. Tell me what are they saying? Tell me what are they saying? And then she became so tired, and she said, "Oh,
how old
is
she now?"
87. I knew how old she was. 32. She was a beautiful, sweet looking woman. She still has the features, the contours of her face, blue of her eyes is still there. Because she's an elderly woman. She's not well. She has all kinds of aches and pains. Complained all this. But she was very gracious, and she was embracing me, kissing me. I reminded her of how she used to walk around on the grounds of the factory, smiling with a beautiful smile on her face, and the smile gave inspiration, encouragement to the inmates, although called men inmates. I don't think that they viewed her as a woman at that time. She was just like a flower, a beautiful flower, not like a woman, you see. Because at that time, we were in a situation, physical situation, where there was no, not a slight inclination of thinking of a woman.
Had you been in contact with any of the other survivors prior to the movie?
Only with my father, who died in 1990, and my stepmother, who was also a Schindler survivor. She died this year. She died in June.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know it was always very difficult.
I did not have any other contact with any other survivors.
Were you surprised when the movie came out? Did you know anything prior to its coming out?
I knew that the book was out, and I had the book.
When was the book published?
The book was published, I think, in 1989 or something.
Mm-hmm.
By Canal, the book by Canal.
How do you spell that name?
Canal. K-E-N-E-A-L-L-Y. And that book was also written thanks to the prodding of Leopold Page. P-A-G-E. His name was Pfefferberg. Change it to Page. Pfefferberg is too much. Too big of a mouth for him, you see. So he's changed his name to Page. He colored Canali,
mm-hmm.
and told him about his survivorship, and it took Canali
mm-hmm.
in such a way that he wrote that book.
Mm-hmm.
Research after long time research. He wrote a book, and of course Spielberg saw the book, and also being an acquaintance of Pfefferberg, decided to make the movie. So Pfefferberg, Leopold Page, was really the instrumental person in all the Schindler
mm-hmm.
Saga. As,
mm-hmm.
as a matter of fact, he was there, sitting with me on the base. And then when I finished singing, He was throwing kisses with both his hands.
What does he do that...
Leopold Page.
Page. Yes.
He has a very thriving business in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, thriving. He's an elderly man now.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's not active in the business, but this is his business. Mm-hmm. Haberdashery or... all kinds of leather goods and other way, in Los Angeles. Very thriving business. We spoke, of course, Polish.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke Polish. And he was very, very moved and gracious. Especially, he said, I didn't know that you were singing. You were such a star in singing, he says to me. Because he never, you know, we were together on the Larry King Live.
Oh, okay.
We were together
yes.
on that show. You remember it?
Yes, I do.
He was
mm-hmm.
in Los Angeles. I was speaking
mm-hmm.
from New York. So he said, well, I thought you were just a cantor. But I didn't know that you were such a fish. He said,
did you sing when you were young?
I started singing when I was 7 years old, 8 years old. I started singing with a canto in Krakow.
Mm-hmm.
In Krakow, singing with a canto in the choir. And I absorbed the liturgical music since
mm-hmm.
I was 8 years old. And stayed with me.
Mm-hmm.
Very much.
Did you sing in the camp?
No. Oh, goodness. And it seemed all I think about is not singing, but food. Food was the thing to think about, to dream about, to talk about, everything, just food, nothing. Food was the ideal. Just to fill one's stomach was, phew, this was a major enterprise. To fill one's stomach.
I know that you didn't speak about the Holocaust for many, many years, since
no.
it was such
no.
an awful, no. painful
yes.
experience.
No, I did not want to go public with my survivorship. I was really thrust into the publicity by the movie.
Mm-hmm.
By the movie.
Did that seem unusual for you, or?
No. I view everything as a Bescherung, a destiny.
Mm-hmm.
I view it that the movie was destined, divinely destined to come out, so that people should focus on the movie, and from this focus should come out a better conscience and understanding of what happened to our people during the war. Do you understand?
Absolutely.
It was a destiny. I mean, there were other Schindlers too.
Right.
There was not only Oscar Schindler, there were other Schindlers, Japanese Schindlers, there were Dutch Schindlers, there were Danish Schindlers. Nobody knows about them. Nobody knows
mm-hmm.
about their survivors.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that this was divinely decreed, that Schindler survivorship should come out in such a tremendous impact, with such a tremendous impact, and it should focus the attention of the people on the movie.
Do you think that
no other movie focused the attention on the Holocaust like this Schindler? It was done in such a genial, tremendously great, in the great talent, genius, a work of genius.
Have you seen the movie now?
No. I want to preserve my. I want to preserve my sanity, my equilibrium, my moral, my mental equilibrium, and so on. I have a big congregation, and I have to sing, and I have to function, and I have to interplay with children, and so on. Big responsibility. And that movie might undercut my feelings of smooth life, I should say.
But it took you all these years to
yes.
suppress.
Yes. I would not want to disturb my professional life as a cantor with depressing nightmares or something.
Do you think there should be other stories by the many righteous Christians that did go to great lengths to help the Jews?
I feel that all other stories that might come out, other Christians, other individuals who help, they might create a counterclimax to the movement. Because I do not think that any story or any movie or any book or any presentation can top or supersede the impact and the tremendous endeavor, enterprise of Steven Spielberg. I don't think so. Because he handled it in such a way in such a masterly way that I do not think that anybody can top it. Could anybody top the Ninth Symphony by Ludwig van Beethoven? No. Or the fifth, or the seventh, or the ninth, or the sixth, whatever.
Well, if I may just say something, I think one of the things, I haven't seen the movie either, and I don't intend it for, I'm not a survivor, but we were refugees from the country, just to make sure my husband from Romania. I think that the other groups are much smaller. I mean, people were, individual families were hidden in Holland and that kind of thing. Probably nowhere else could there have been such a large group of people.
Yes, they, I would take issue with that, because there was a Japanese.
What's that?
Schindler. I forgot his name. Would cover some of those other. Who saved more than 1,100 Jews? No question about it.
Were you
he saved more than 2,000 Jews. Yes.
When you were in the situation, did you know that it was by his good graces, or, I mean, were you cognizant of everything else that was going on?
I was cognizant of one thing, that Oskar Schindler was a God-sent emissary to save.
You felt that then?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
No question about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he was able to save us or not, it was in the hands of God. But he was the emissary. Do you understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So you worked even harder than usual so that he would succeed, so you could survive?
It was a matter of working. Uh-huh. That was no matter of working. It didn't have anything to do with work. Work was something that was imposed on us by the Germans, by the SS.
Mm-hmm.
So whether we worked harder or whether we worked not harder, they would not take in account our work when it came to a vital life decision, whether we should remain alive or not. In the German mind,
mm-hmm.
work had nothing to do with this decision. So they decided to do away with Jews, whether they worked or not, and how they worked. The conditions in the camps were such that that it was geared to the exhaustion, mental and physical exhaustion of Jews, no matter what they work and how hard they work. This was the atrocity, this was the criminal intent of the Germans. Now, who was saved and how many were saved, I think it was in the hand of God. And how they were saved. Do you understand?
Yes. Could you tell us some of the final days of the factory, the Schindler experience?
No, it's all in the book. It's all in the book.
And the book that you're referring to is Schindler's
Legacy.
Okay, by?
By Eleanor Brecher. Brecher, Brecher.
Mm-hmm. That was recently published for Penguin.
Yes, she has everything, the last day, how we were liberated by the Russian army on May 8th, 1945. The Russian soldier, who was Jewish, with a beard, came riding on a horse into the camp, and he was almost torn apart. And then after him came the other members of his unit, who were not Jewish. The Russians had the good sense and the good the good good intent, yes, to bring it to the camp, to a Jewish camp. One of their soldiers who was Jewish and who spoke Yiddish and who could bring joy and a sense of liberation to all of us. It was something.
Can you tell us how your life has changed in the last 2 years since the movie came out and you became public?
My life has changed in a way that I was granting interviews like I'm doing it today to different